The Danny Parkin Show.
I like you, Betty.
That's Danny, sir.
Danny.
On 670 The Score.
Whenever the Bears lay an egg on national TV like that, I am a little apologetic to the nation.
Making amends.
Important step. Maybe the most important.
Because, like,
the network executives can't quit us.
It's hard to believe after what we've been watching here that this is a 5-2 football team. This is ugly.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
What's going on in Chicago?
Bears fans, I need you to bite a stick here so you don't swallow your tongue.
I mean, what? There is no coming back from this. This is not going to be pretty.
The Bears, they're in a world of hurt right now.
You're looking over this guy. Y'all are straight scrubs.
Yeah, the fact that this team was 5-1 at one point is quite literally a modern-day miracle.
I'm sorry, it's some point. My ass is on the line as the head coach. There's no ideas there in Chicago.
Every draft since 1985.
The things that they need to correct, they can't correct during the season.
And I think next weekend, their offense could be just as productive, and they're on a bye.
At one point in the fourth quarter, they have 14 total yards.
This is downright embarrassing. This is a proud franchise that's being humiliated here today.
I am a little apologetic to the nation.
I don't want to get into a big thing here, but I'm not sure if technically what you just said was actually an apology.
I am a little apologetic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well done, Chris Tannehill, as always. Mark Grody was with Matt Nagy today on a Zoom call, along with the rest of the Bears beat reporters. You'll hear from the Bears head coach on why it's looking like and sounding like Matt Nagy is going back to Mitch Trubisky Sunday night against the Packers. And yeah, like, call your friends, call your family, text them around the holidays. They like to hear from you unexpectedly, and work in like a little bit of an apology. Maybe they're a Steeler fan. Maybe they're a Chief fan. Maybe they're a fan of Seattle, wherever they are in the country. And just say, I'm sorry that you have to watch the Bears on national TV yet again. Because if we were Buffalo or Jacksonville or Tennessee, they would forget about us if we sucked this bad. But because we're Chicago and we're awesome, you're going to get us 5-6 times a year on national TV. And your family and friends who are NFL fans of teams outside of Chicago deserve an apology from us. They really do.
I'm really glad I heard that. I think I missed that take, and I missed that open. Is some of that from the Tuesday after the Monday night game that you and I previewed?
Yes.
It feels like that is, and that would certainly make sense if some of that is from
That was Tuesday.
One
of my takes, yeah, after that game was like, man, the next time the Bears play will be on national TV again.
It's okay, like, well, good.
This team deserves noon, Dick Stockton, 15% of the country. Like, Spiro Ditas, 9% of the country. Like, that's what the Bears deserve right now. But because Chicago's such an awesome city and it photographs well on national TV, you're going to get us on Sunday Night Football yet again.
That makes a little more sense in terms of what I feel like I have heard in you in a couple of takes here, because I missed that. You and I were together on that Monday previewing that game, the Monday Nighter, saying, here we go, Bill Lazor, baby, Bill Lazor. It's finally, it still falls after 2.5 years of saying, this is going to change the offense. Whether it was Mitch's offseason in 2.0, or whether it was the Foles acquisition, and then it was the quarterback battle, and then it was putting Foles in, and then, you know, and then it's, all right, here we go, here's the play calling change, all that, and none of it worked. They only got worse. So that would then make sense, because what I feel like I've heard, the two takes were yesterday, is it going to be Foles or Trubisky? And you basically were like, eh, who cares? They both suck. And then what was the other take today?
It doesn't feel like Packer Week.
Yes, it doesn't feel like Packer Week. So here's my question, and maybe that open and that take answered it. Something broke in you, and maybe it was that Monday night game. Maybe it was the litany of examples that I just gave about times we waited for it to get better and it just doesn't get better. Maybe it's now you're fully convinced that the Foles thing is just, it's not going to work just as much as the Mitch thing did not work. What broke in you? Because there's a level of which usually does not come from you about Bears issues.
Yeah, you're right. It's so I think it's a combination of things. It's I am disappointed, and I'm disappointed in Nagy. You know, Pace, we've talked about it a lot, man. Like he's had some hits, and some of his hits have been luck, and they haven't been on the offensive side of the ball. But I do and did really believe in Matt Nagy, and that's not done. It's not over. I still want to see him here with a quarterback. But, like, this team is not, like, a tweak or two away. And I thought that a competent, intelligent quarterback to execute the offense could get them towards average. And a few things have happened, right? They've played better teams, and Cody Whitehair got hurt, and then Bobby Massey got hurt. So a bad offensive line got banged up. And it was, you know, it's a combination of things. It's never just one thing in football. But I think I'm at the point where even if the teams left on the schedule don't have very good defenses, and even if Mitch is more mobile, and even if the offensive line gets a little healthier, and even if they simplified things during the bye and got 10% better, it's not going to matter much. Like, so what, now the ceiling is the 25th best offense in the NFL instead of the 31st offense in the NFL? It's not good enough to accomplish anything. And so, to me, it's like the old deja vu all over again. It's another season of my life watching the Bears where the defense is way better than the offense, and the defense carries them to NFL purgatory, to the 17th pick in the draft, to 7, 8, or 9 wins. And it's just, that's the worst kind of football. And one more thing.
Well, hold on, though, Danny, because if you really are on my sports couch, you're doing a lot of obfuscation. You're getting away from the central issue that we're trying to get at, because I want to answer the question.
Put a point on it. My bad.
I want to have a productive session here with you, because your copay has been raised to $25, and I know that's a lot. So
yeah, that's
what broke? You answered it. You gave me a couple things, and I want to now spit them back to you and see if you can dial in. What broke in you? One, the belief that this offense is a tweak or two away from being average, and that's all they need, which I think was the logical basis of a lot of conversation over the past 2 years for you on this show and elsewhere. So that's one thing. And then the other one, that belief in Matt Nagy. It's shaken. Maybe it's not broken, but it is. And how could it not be at this point? Be very shaken by seeing Mitch and Foles be this bad.
Yeah, and just no answers, right? Like no workaround. So okay, when they went from Mitch to Foles, I was like, well, listen, Foles isn't good. He's just better than Mitch. But now he's worse than Mitch, and so like that kind of blindsided me. Like Foles has been way worse than I thought he was going to be. I got that one wrong. I've admitted that for weeks.
Me too, Nagy, by the way. I thought that Foles would simply come in and be a game manager with the touch to go deep every once in a while, and that was going to work out just fine.
Yeah. Nagy not having a counterpunch or a workaround or, you know, gimmicks to dress it up, that has surprised me as someone who backs him. But you know what I think it really is, Speaks? And you and I see eye to eye on this part of sports. Like, obviously the goal is to win a championship. But man, I just love watching sports. I love being entertained by sports.
Yeah.
And the Bears are straight up unwatchable. I don't enjoy these games.
No.
And I didn't think, I've obviously lived through plenty of Bears seasons where I didn't enjoy watching the games. But there was like there's enough talent on this team and enough hype and enough things that I do like. Like, who doesn't like Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson and Roquan Smith and Jalen Johnson?
Max Rustifer
and Allen Robinson. Like, who doesn't like some of these dudes, right? And then, yes, I do also like the coach, and I have hated the vast majority of Bears coaches. So I'm like, I feel like I should be so close to watchable, enjoyable, good Bears football, and it's not. And I think that's where the disconnect is like,
it's not joyful. It's not joyful anymore.
No, it's joyless. And like the best thing that you could say sometimes about a team is like they're better than the sum of their parts. This team is way worse than the sum of their parts. And that's just infuriating. It's an infuriating thing to watch. And I watch other football. And so like I know what it could be. Like, you know, honestly, like
it doesn't seem that hard to get it to be a better version of football. There seems like there's a lot of people achieving average. That with
Alex
less
Smith
than the sum of our parts.
Died on a football field.
And then he threw for 400 yards. Yeah.
Yeah, he had 18 surgeries, was the third string quarterback in Washington, and immediately came in and is worlds better than any quarterback on the Bears. The Panthers started a guy who was the XFL MVP.
I know, man.
Worlds better than anyone
worlds better.
On the Bears.
He made me long for Kyle Sloter because I'm like, how the hell else? How much worse could it be? But yeah, no, it shouldn't be this hard. They are worse than the sum of their parts. And that's crazy.
It's an indictment. It's an indictment on coaching. And I admit that. And I think also because if you watch as much football as I do, it's not, man, the league is totally set up for offense. It's easier than ever to move the ball between the 20s. So many teams. And by the way, case in point, like Nick Foles has had games where he's played awful and then had some garbage time stats and finishes with 350 passing yards or something like that. But you know it's mostly garbage time against shell defenses playing prevent, given 8-10 yards of cushion off the line. But like, it just, they have made enough of an investment on offense to be better than this. And they're not. And so I like watching offensive football. I'll admit it. And sure. I've been waiting for it my entire life. And like it, whenever it happens, like first year of Trestman or whatever, it's like, oh, that's cool. But then it's fleeting. And this, it's like, it should be better. And it's not. Yeah. And so it's a brand of football that I personally hate watching.
And you are resigned to watching it and resigned to hoping for it to be achieved. And that's how they're, you have to get wins. If there's any adjustment in Matt Nagy's bag, it's been to hope the defense carries him even more as he goes towards that. So yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you on that. It has become a joyless exercise. And the questions have been, well, what tweak could they make? Maybe this tight end. And so they drafted one and signed Jimmy Graham. That didn't work. Okay, well, they really need a bona fide number two wide receiver. Hey, Darnell Mooney's a fifth-round rookie, but you know what? I'd feel pretty good about him as my number two wide receiver, conceivably. I mean, I could feel better. I could certainly feel better, but, you know, as they find that. Here's a text. Would three above-average offensive linemen get them to be an average or slightly above-average offense? That's last. That and quarterback, obviously. But
well, quarterback. That's the quarterback. Thing, man. You need another quarterback. And this guy on the Twitch, Kay Belsey, on our Twitch page, twitch.tv/Chicago670Score, no, they haven't. They haven't spent nearly enough on offense. And what I'm saying is they got an offensive coach. They used the second overall pick on a quarterback. Their first draft pick this past year was a tight end, Cole Kmet. Allen Robinson's a legit number one. Trades for Anthony Miller, trades for Montgomery. Like they've made investment on offense. Yeah, they spend way more on defense. Three of their top four players against the cap are defensive guys. I've done all of these cap numbers, and I understand that. But they've made enough of an investment on offense to be better than 31st in the NFL. And it's easier to be good on offense. And so I think what you're hearing, Spiegs, as I do the therapy on your couch,
that
I realized that it was so broken that it can't be fixed in season. And so that means that now at the earliest that I will have hope again for the Bears offense is 10 months from now.
Watch this, Lease. You can actually pinpoint the second when his heart rips in half. And now.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm betting that moment was somewhere during the 149 yards that the Bill Lazor offense gave you against the Rams on a Monday night.
that third and five screen pass to Allen Robinson where he like came in motion and was slowing down and then they threw it behind the line of scrimmage and just everybody in the world saw it coming and you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Just throw the ball past. Did I? Throw it past the sticks.
I know I said Rams, but I meant Vikings. Obviously.
You meant Vikings. Yeah, right. Well, Monday and that's night. The other thing. Vikings, bad defense. That's the other part.
Yeah.
It's at the beginning of the Nick Foles experience, it was Indy. It was Tampa.
Yes.
These are good teams. Like weirdly, the Bears have actually looked good against the Saints. They like, you know, it was in a loss, but they actually had like David Montgomery had the 38-yard run. They had the long connection to Mooney. Like they actually had some glimpses against the Saints, and the Saints defense has been pretty good recently. So I'm sure off a bye at some point against Green Bay, against Houston, against Jacksonville, against Detroit, I'm sure mm-hmm. at some point they'll have little stretches of looking competent. But it's smoke and mirrors at this point. It doesn't mean anything. And I think that's what's dispiriting. If they got to 9 wins, were the 7 seed and lost in the first round of the playoffs, like obviously I'd be excited for a playoff game and I obviously love football and I'll obviously be there watching every game twice and doing what I do for the show. But I want the Bears to be playing representative league average offensive football at a minimum, and they're so damn far away from it that it sucks.
That makes all the sense in the world. Robert Quinn was one of the three players that spoke today. He called his season average. You think it's probably been worse than that, but that was him. But the other thing that he brought up was the 9-7 New York Giants, led by Eli Manning, that beat the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl, and how all you got to do is get in, baby. He said, all you got to do is get in. Well, I would argue that even somebody as mediocre as Eli Manning is not walking through that door. That Plaxico Burress is not walking through that door, nor is the four-pack of Justin Tuck and who else was there?
Strahan and Umanyora.
Yeah, Umanyora.
Yeah,
Robert, how would you characterize and evaluate your season?
My season?
I was like, oh, damn, what a long pause. But yes, Robert, your season.
A little country humor.
That's what we're asking for there. It sucks that Robert Quinn hasn't been better because I really enjoyed his country humor at his introductory press conference when they signed him. But yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm
hearing. It's unwatchable football that, sure, if they make the playoffs, they could get hot. Their defense could win. They could win the turnover. They could do some things, sure. But, man, there's no reason to believe in it right here and now. Matt Nagy believes, or at least he's saying he believes, that if Mitch Trubisky gets back in Sunday, he will be a new player. He will be an improved player. We hear from Moby Ditka and the Bears coach next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
With Matt Spiegelin, Moby Ditka joins us on a newsworthy day. You can see Mark Grody at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Dave Wanstead will join us in half an hour. Mitch Trubisky took all the reps. Nick Foles is day-to-day. Moby Ditka set the scene for what it was like talking to Matt Nagy and how he sold it to you guys.
Yeah, not only, guys, did Mitchell Trubisky practice, it was in full. Because that surprised me a little bit because I figured he'd be out there, but I figured it would be in a limited capacity. So he was out there full force, as you said, taking all of the reps, nothing whatsoever for Nick Foles. So, of course, the questions right away came out to Matt Nagy about, all right, who's the starting quarterback then? Let's take a listen to some of this.
Hey, Matt, obviously the report just came out that Nick did not practice today. What does that mean now now going forward? Does this mean that he probably won't be healthy on Sunday and Mitch is the guy?
We don't know that yet. It's day to day right now with Nick. And so with him not practicing, you know, Mitch got all the reps today, and I thought he did a good job. It was good to see him out there, and he looked good, and the tempo and the rhythm was good. But for Nick, that's going to strictly be a day-to-day thing right now for us, and you know that's where that's at.
Matt, the way that you talked about the quarterback situation in the past indicated it was about health, but it would be about some other things too, evaluating performance. Does Nick's spot as the starter hinge just on whether he's healthy, or would you go to Mitch on performance?
I would say this. I would say, just like I was saying, you know, when we discussed this you know, last week and in the last several days, is there's a lot of factors involved in it right now. And we're looking at all that. But for us, Jason, what we got to do is we have to start with the availability. You know, that's otherwise the other stuff doesn't matter. So for us right now, the only thing that we can do is, you know, we weren't sure at the end of this last game that we played really what our situation was going to be like with both quarterbacks, you know, with Mitch and with Nick. And so right now for me and for us, it's literally day to day for Nick as to where he's at. And so are there other factors involved? Absolutely. I think that that's a part of the bye week of us looking at everything from a bigger picture of where we're at. But for sure, it has to start with availability. And that's kind of where we're at on the day to day stuff with Nick.
Matt, with Mitch and Nick, do you need to let your team know at some point who is going to start, or can you take a couple of days to evaluate Nick's health and to evaluate the whole situation and let them know maybe 24 hours before kickoff or whatever it may be? Or do you have to let them know earlier in the week if you've already made the decision?
No, I would say this, JJ. I think that for our guys, they understand that with both, we've obviously played with both guys and they're familiar with both guys. And I'm not so sure right now that that's where they're at. I think that they understand where both these guys are at with their injuries and their health, et cetera. So they don't really get into that too much. That's not something that they ask questions about. They just kind of roll. You know what? It's kind of similar to, in a way, it's a little bit similar to the play calling deal too. You know, it's one of those deals where they just kind of roll. Whatever play is being called, that's what they're going to run. And I think it's something similar here where they just kind of go out there, they run the plays, and whoever's back there, they just play as best as they can.
So everything connects to Mitchell Trubisky, and I will narrow it down to two things, and I want to hear what you guys have to say. He said availability multiple times, and then the ambiguous other stuff, which can only lead you to the feet of Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, I heard the other stuff thing in there, Danny. And it sounds like, yeah, they've looked at it and they've thought about who it should be, but he doesn't have to declare it. He doesn't have to say so. I think he's getting the benefit of a game to watch Mitch Trubisky play without having to declare a damn thing. That's what it seems to me. Danny, what do you think? Do you feel like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, so we'll know, right, based on whether or not Foles is active for the game. Like, if Foles is active in the backup, then they will have chosen Mitch Trubisky over Foles, presumably. But if Foles is not active and Tyler Bray is your backup to Mitch Trubisky, then you can say that you didn't make a decision to start Mitch over Foles, and you could get a game to evaluate him with the cover of injury, and which is what I think is happening. I think that this is, hey, Foles is hurt. Let's see how Mitch does, and then we can go from there. And then the other thing, Grody, that you know I think is worth following up on, and the beat reporters did it. You guys did a nice job with it. The players are going to know. Like, they might not tell us, and they might not make an announcement to the team today, but these guys are not stupid. Like, if Mitch Trubisky takes all the reps today, and then he takes all the reps tomorrow, and then he goes and leads them through the walkthrough on Friday,
yeah,
they don't need to make an announcement to the team. The only people that they would need to make an announcement to is the media, and they can do that if and when they want to.
Guys, we'll know tomorrow. We'll know tomorrow because of what you just said, Danny. They practice another full practice tomorrow. If it is again Trubisky taking the reps, practicing, and Foles is either limited or not practicing, that's the tell. There's no way during this week, the one leading up to the most important game of the season, that they're going to have a limited practice quarterback in Nick Foles. The other reason why I think we're going to know tomorrow, I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but Matt Nagy lately, and I think it started maybe with the big splashy one was with the play calling. He's been more transparent. He is going back a little bit to the way he was last year in terms of giving us an actual injury report, being willing to give an opening statement before he just opens it up for questions. So that there has been a slight shift. And I don't know why. I think maybe Matt Nagy, my opinion is that Matt Nagy got kind of sick of people criticizing him for that and not being the same affable, nice guy that he was to us last year in those regards. So there has been a little bit of a change or a little bit of a switch, a change in the force in that regard.
It's a life hack. It makes you a little bit more likable when you're a little more transparent and when you're honest about that stuff. And his performance, his offense's performance, has made him less likable. So I think it's a smart thing to do, to go ahead and be a little more transparent and give you a couple more answers. Thought it was interesting, too, how he equated the play calling switch with the quarterback switch in terms of how the players don't really care. Like, they're ready to go with whatever it is. They're fine with whatever, which is kind of sad in terms of, like, usually in a quarterback controversy place, you've got players hoping for one guy over the other. Maybe in this one, they're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, they both suck.
They both suck.
Well, speaks it when we had Jimmy Graham on Zoom right after it was announced that Bill Lazor would call plays. Of course, we asked him, hey, what do you think about Bill Lazor calling plays? He kind of looks back and goes, I had no idea. And he's like, seriously, I didn't know. But that's great. Good for him. So, yeah, there is some of that. Look, so these guys have personal biases. I don't know what they are inside the locker room, but of course there's going to be certain receivers that are going to be like, yeah, I'm a Mitch guy, or I'm a Foles guy because he puts the ball where I want it, because he throws to me, because he makes me part of it. Another reason, guys, that it's sounding like Mitch Trubisky, and everybody's been connecting these dots all week. This is not a huge revelation, but, you know, 90% of the questions and answers today were about Mitchell Trubisky. And I want you guys to listen to this, because I thought this is really interesting. And maybe this is just the forever positive do things in the right direction, Matt Nagy. But it almost sounded like he was talking about this magical Mitch Trubisky that has transformed while he's been sitting on the bench. Take a listen to this.
Matt, you said that Mitch looked good when he was out there. If you have to go to him, from what you know of him and his personality, is he able to put, like, the bruised ego of being benched aside and focus on the task at hand and do what he needs to do to help this offense?
Yeah. Here's what I would say, Deion, to that is, and I really haven't had the chance, a little bit I've said it to y'all, but one of the things that I've taken from this experience as a coach and witnessing how Mitchell has dealt with this, I'm very, very impressed with how he's grown week to week. I mean that. This kid has literally, you know, it wasn't easy by any means those first couple of weeks. It was hard. It was out of place for him and for us. But he kind of got to take a step back and see where he's at. And so, you know, if he is going, what I would say is this, is I have all the confidence in the world in him. And I think that the word growth for him in being able to step back from everything as it happened, in this sport, in this world, in this life, adversity strikes. And sometimes people take that and turn that into a big time positive. And at times when you think it's the worst feeling in the world, what you're going through, sometimes those moments end up being the greatest things that ever happened to you. And I don't know if that's the case. And if he ends up starting and he's our guy and we go into this game, you know, I don't know what that final story is going to be for this game and moving forward. But I do know that what I've seen with Mitchell and the way that he's handled the meetings, the way that he's handled practice in that role, I've seen a change in him and for the good. And I just it's a good feeling. It comforts you. And it's exciting because you know how good of a kid he is.
I loved hearing that. It was great. But this is what we have heard every single year before Mitchell Trubisky either is slated to start or to begin a season or a training camp. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the revelation, but feel like we've heard this before.
Yeah, and I wish it could be discussed with, like, a little bit of nuance, right? Because, again, both things can be true. Mitch Trubisky can be great in meetings and a hard worker and a good teammate and likable and first one in, last one to leave, and like check all of the intangible boxes that you want as a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then be bad in the games and get rattled and the game be too fast for him to process. Both things can be true. Like, you ever know a student who would study for 6 hours, but the best they could do was a C+? That's what Mitch is.
But don't you think
school came easy to him, and you walk in with no effort, and you get an A-, and if you put 15 minutes of studying in, you ace the test. For other people, you study for 6 hours, and you barely pass. Like, that's what this is. No one questions his likability, his work ethic, all that stuff. But, I mean, come on. When he's magically fixed during the bye week, no shot.
No, but I think Nagy spoke to that. Like he said, look, I'm not saying I know how this game is going to go or how this rest of his chapter with the Bears. Like he gave that caveat. I think he saw an opportunity to say good things about Mitch the person, which we've consistently heard from everybody. And that's
correct.
And that is nice to hear. Okay, good. Good for you. He's handling it well. There were multiple times that he went down that road, right? Today, Mark Grody, it seemed like he went down the Mitch is a good dude, Mitch has worked hard road a bunch of times. But to Danny's point, it has no bearing.
Right.
On
what we would have rather have heard, what Bears fans would rather have heard was, you should have seen this downfield pass to Darnell Mooney in practice today. Allen Robinson did a double move and he hit him in the end zone in the corner with two guys. That's what you'd probably prefer to hear than the peripheral stuff, the intangible types of things, which Trubisky has always had. And look, people, like what I've learned about Trubisky today and over the last week or so, people still like Mitchell Trubisky a lot because
sure.
he is theirs. He is a draft pick of the Chicago Bears. And yeah, Bears fans are not pleased with the way he's played, and he takes a lot of crap, and that's just the way it is. That's the life that any quarterback in the NFL lives. But deep down inside, there is Chicago fans, Bears fans, feel ownership over Mitch. So they really want him to succeed. I mean, they want to see him thrive, and they would have preferred to see him thrive over Nick Foles because Nick Foles is an outsider. He just is.
Go ahead.
You don't like that, Speaks?
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. I think now at this point there is a more of a fondness for him because Foles sucked. So at this point,
there's
really no reason not to do it.
Oh no, that's there. But there's also this soft spot.
Okay.
I think for Trubisky because, and I think this goes with any sports organization, when a player is a draft pick, he's always going to get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, and people are going to feel some sort of fatherly or motherly, you know, feeling towards them as a fan. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. But I mean, to your point, yeah, of course, this is Foles has been bad. Let's get the other guy in, you know, even if it is your guy, Sloter.
It's slower time. The idea of for future clarity for the Bears that it would be better if it's Mitch. I assume that's not a hypothetical that Matt Nagy enjoyed entertaining, or how did he handle it?
Well, actually, I think he handled it pretty well. And yeah, this is the big picture part of that. You know, is it in the best interest of the organization? Here is Matt Nagy on that specifically.
Unfortunately, you know, it's in this profession and in a lot of sports, but at that quarterback position, there's a lot of, you know, instant gratification, and there's not a lot of the old, you know, the days back in the day where you get 3 years to kind of sit behind somebody 4 years and then you go ahead and play. And because of the different rosters and the, you know, being able to make things happen on rookie contracts, it is different, but that's where we're at. And so, you know, for us and for him, I'm just a big believer in things happen for a reason. I don't know where this is going to go this weekend either way. But like you're saying, I can't argue as well with your point either, Adam. I think that you say something like that, and it's something where we have to be able to look at all that. And again, the same with Nick, too. You know, Nick is in a position for us, too, where I know Nick wants to. He's fighting like heck to get healthy. And so I just want to make sure that, you know, it is such a balance and a fine line, because it's not easy, you know, but it all does go back to right now for this team, the availability and the health of these guys.
And so if Trubisky does play super well in the final six games, then it's Trubisky that holds all the cards because they didn't pick up the option and he becomes a free agent. You just hope that he has some love for the Bears organization still. If and it's a long shot, if the Bears wanted to offer him some sort of deal, whatever it might be.
Well, I mean, he'd be a restricted free agent too, so they could match anything that would come his way. But again, I mean, that is what 100-1 against that he plays so well in the last six games that some team makes him some massive offer and the Bears are like, no, we must keep him. Like, I just, that's not happening. What Bears nuggets exist from today, Grody?
All right, first the serious. David Montgomery is back. He cleared concussion protocol. He was green-lighted today, and barring anything else between now and then, Montgomery will be the guy, and that's good. Green Bay does not have a good run defense. I feel like we've said it so many times about oppositions this year, and it hasn't panned out that way, right?
Yes.
Like, so do I bother saying the Packers give up 114 rushing yards per game?
If it's true, it's true, babe. Say it, you know?
I got the
Maybe
facts,
there'll be
man.
different results. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, the Bears may struggle in their run defense if this continues to pan out. Akeem Hicks missed practice today because of the hamstring injury. Two more things. If this hit was not enough for you, I'm going to be on from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock talking Bears and Rick Camp in studio tonight.
Yes! So
it's, yeah, I mean, that's...
And Rick Camp in studio!
That's
going to be
I
a special hour. Yes.
That's what I need. And did you also do 5 to 6 this morning?
I also did 5 to 6 this morning. Yes, and I will be doing and I will be on with Bruce Levine from 7 to 11 tomorrow. Any advice, Beagle? I'll be on from 7 to 11 with Bruce Levine tomorrow morning.
Just enjoy him.
Okay.
And just know that he's usually kidding, and if he's not, you can probably
say bad things all morning.
Yeah, he's
I
usually
know you're kidding,
kidding,
Bruce.
Yeah. Enjoy that. It should be fun. It's good. You know, Bruce has been writing a lot. He's been writing a lot about possible Chris Bryant situations and what Jed Hoyer's biggest decisions are. I'm sure you guys will have a lot to do.
Yeah, and we got Coomer, Casey Johnson, Mark Podash, and Chuck Swirsky on the show. All right, here's the last
Big
thing.
Time onions.
Hell yeah! This is the most important nugget of them all. So anyway, if Mitchell Trubisky gets named the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, our boss, what's his name? Mitch Rosen. He is coming up with something special. We've been talking all day long because he wants to know. He keeps asking me, is it going to be Mitch? Is it going to be Mitch? Is it going to be Mitch? Because he has been in the old production studio putting something special together.
Mm-hmm.
He played a little bit of it for me, like third hand, so it was fuzzy, and I told him I would not reveal it, but...
What?
For the sake of entertainment, he has been in that production studio with Russ Matera, and they've been working on a song. Oh.
Tanny, do we have any of it?
Thankfully, we do not.
What? Really? Wow, this is an upset. Oh,
that was supposed to be Speak's job. Speak was supposed to reach out to Russ. I could have done that, but he volunteered.
The truth is that I'm so...
Oh, so Spiegel does know. Okay.
I'm so hurt and I'm so disgusted that my precious creative territory that I've carved out, lo these many years, has been usurped by the boss.
So you didn't reach out to Russ after you said
Well, they closed at 2 o'clock today, Danny. You know this.
Dude,
the office
don't even
at
get
two.
Me started on that email. Okay? Don't even get me started. Closed at 2 o'clock. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You're not in the building. You're not closed at 2 o'clock. There is no closed. I'll get the commercials whenever I get them to you. But I got them to you before, too. Okay, I got them to you before, too.
Good job.
Triggered me, Tanny. Now I'm going to be in all sorts of trouble. Just hope it's Mitch, guys. Just hope it's Mitch. Because it'll be lost. It'll be the lost files of... Maybe it'll go on the Mitch album. I don't know.
We'll still play it. Mitch will still give it to us, even if it's Foles. We have the Bears have, got Peyton Manning. We've got the Chicago gets the Olympics.
Sure.
We got all.
Can I just
those.
Say though, Mark Grody, stay out of Mitch album business, okay? I mean, for God's sake, don't get your
just
fingers off the track listing.
Bruce and I are going to play that tomorrow morning when it starts getting real tomorrow morning. And Bruce
everybody will be listening.
Yeah. Whoa! Take it easy.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Bad guy alert.
Just kidding.
Grody.
Yeah.
Bears.
Bears.
Bye, guys. Dave Wanstead at 5 o'clock. I can only imagine how sober he's going to be on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I'm very much looking forward to that. It's the Danny Parker Show with Matt Spiegel on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We have Dave Wanstead coming up momentarily. Tanny, I just have to say, super intrigued by your Instagram of a pastrami beer. That's really all I wanted to say. But
appreciate you. That's at Chris Tannehill on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks.
Yeah.
No softball game talk on there. Feel free. Everyone welcome.
A beer that is infused with pastrami? That'll get Speegs to quit veganism, I feel like. That is amazing.
Yeah, I wonder if that counts as an animal product. Does pastrami beer count or not?
Yeah, it's Pipeworks and Manny's Deli have collaborated on a rye ale with smoked malt, brown sugar, black pepper, coriander seed, red pepper, and mustard seed. Mustard seed.
All right, well, Mitch said we had to be sober, but apparently the office closed at 2 p.m., so the workday is over. We just happen to still be on the air. So pour your drinks, pour your iced tea for Dave Wanstead next on The Score.